We're going to read together verses 1 through 18 of Hebrews chapter 10. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin. But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, that after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Amen, and God bless to us the reading of his word. This is a phenomenal portion of the Word of God. It speaks of the once-for-all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? Well, it's because of the fact of what is the most important thing in our lives. What is it that every human being in the world really wants? What is it that unites every person that has ever lived? They want to have a proper and real relationship with God. Every single human being who has ever lived and shall ever live wants to have a right relationship with their Creator. The first question I want to consider this morning is, I want to look at how people try to get a right relationship with God. How do people try to get a right relationship with God? One of the most basic ways that people try to get a right relationship with God is through sacrifice. Sacrifice of doing or sacrifice of giving. Think of all the great religions in the world and how they are established upon, predicated upon, an attitude of doing or giving to a deity who will for them meet the great need of the real relationship they have or should have with God. People will do all sorts of things in order to fill that desire in their hearts to have a right relationship with God. Consider any of the great religions of the world and the huge efforts that are put in by devotees to in some way ingratiate themselves, work themselves into a position where will somehow they will find merit with the God whom they worship. And if they worship no particular deity, they still seek to find someone to fill that real need in their lives of a proper relationship with God. And if they can't find that in the worship of a deity, they'll find it in the worship of some other activity. It may be a physical abuse that they give themselves to. It may be work that they apply themselves at. But when you strip it all away and get back to the basic roots of the human heart, what is going on there is a replacement policy. They are seeking to replace that real deep need of a right relationship with their Creator with something else. And they will give themselves to that something else, whatever that something else is, whether it's a worship of another deity, whether it's the worship of themselves, whether it's the worship of some sporting activity, whatever it is, they will give themselves to it. And their desire is that in return, they will get the satisfaction that they so desperately crave. In the Old Testament, people actually made sacrifices. They brought sacrifices to God. You read the book of Leviticus, Numbers, you read Deuteronomy, and you see how that people gave themselves, not by giving themselves, but by bringing sin offerings, burnt offerings, whatever other offerings that God had instructed them to bring. And they did that out of a desire because God had commanded them to do it, and their desire was to have that right relationship with God met. Jesus tells us that that was not wrong, that in their bringing of their offerings, they were not doing that which was wrong. They were doing what God had commanded. They were doing what God required. What they were doing was meeting the demands of God and the law of God. What they were doing was acting in obedience to God. Today, in our society, there are many people who still, even within the broader Christian church, seek by attendance at worship, by charitable giving, by giving some money to the church, they seek to fill that greatest need in their lives through a means of sacrifice. So the aspect of sacrifice is not unusual to us. We shouldn't be surprised at it. We just need to see how that word is defined in people's lives in different ways. So people sacrifice. But here's the question. Why does this approach not work? Why is it that the approach of human sacrifice to God, why does it not work? Why does it not satisfy? Why does it not bring peace? Why does it not fulfill the yearning in the human heart? It doesn't work because it can't work. It won't work because it cannot work. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, the system that God commanded his people to participate in, we are told very clearly, didn't work. Now, that's not because God set up a system that was broken. It was not because God established a pattern that by its default couldn't fulfill what it was set up to do. This pattern, this system, was set up to fail. God deliberately established within this practice that which would mean that it would not work. It speaks in the fourth verse, it says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You think of the Israelite, and they had committed some awful crime, some terrible thing, and they bring a little goat, and they offer that little goat. They have it killed by the priest, and it is offered as a sacrifice. And the blood is given to God as an atonement. How could that ever work? What good would ever come to God by the receiving of the blood of that little animal? How could that sacrifice ever, in any way, meet the need of the restitution that was required because of the person's disobedience to God? How could an act of that on a personal basis, or an act of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and the sprinkling of the blood of one animal, how could that make atonement for the sin of all the people of God? I can remember as a young man going to a friend's house, and we were using some projection equipment and had a screen up. And I swung round the screen and I just missed this beautiful light fitting on the roof by about an inch. And as I was thanking my lucky stars, if I can use that term, did I not then turn around and hit it on the other side as I swung round and leave it lying on the floor in tens of pieces? And I stood there, totally embarrassed, not knowing what to do. And I thought, how can I tell my best friend's parents that I have just smashed their beautiful living room light ceiling fitting? I didn't know how much the thing cost. I knew I had no money to pay for it. I knew no amount of going into the kitchen and saying, Mrs. Brown, I'm really, really sorry. I've just smashed your light fitting in your living room. I was broken. I just stood there for about 10 seconds. I didn't know what to do. I thought, any words that I offer to this woman, you know, what are they going to be? There, we have all, at times in our lives, done things that we want to make restitution for. But such is the caliber and depth of the thing that we have done wrong that we will never, ever be able to make restitution for it. We have said something about someone that's been passed on to us. We haven't checked the facts. That statement that we have passed on has, with the caveats that we have surrounded it with, sufficiently slurred or added to the slurring of their character. Then a week or 10 days later, we have found out that what we were adding to and passing on, in our way, just wanting to talk to people, we have found that the truth is that that is not at all what they said or did themselves. And as we think about that and we think what we've done to that person's character and how we can't go back and say to the person that we said it to and the other three or four persons that they have passed it on to and the half a dozen other people now think that, we think, I have set a chain in motion here that I cannot undo. And that's the grieving of an individual. What about the grieving and the satisfying of God? How often we are unable to make restitution to human beings whom we have wronged or hurt or inadvertently done something to. How then can the blood of bulls and goats take away our heart rebellion against God? How can it satisfy in any way the demands of a holy God that we in our nature and in our hearts and in our minds, in our words and in our thoughts and in our actions do that which spells rebellion against Him? The God who is most merciful and gracious and gives us life, how could the blood of an animal ever cover for that sin? That's why the purpose of these sacrifices was not to make atonement for their sin. Verse 3, the purpose of these sacrifices was to be a reminder annually of the reality of their sin. God required that these sacrifices be made. As we sang in Psalm 40, God does not delight in the sacrifices. As we read in Psalm 51, God's heart is not wanting the sacrifices. It is not that God sat in heaven and said, that's another 3,000 goats today. That's another 2,000 burnt offerings today. That's another 1,000 lambs. That's another 300 bulls, that's another 10,000 grain offerings. These people are obeying me, and all the blood that flows from these sin offerings and these guilt offerings and these burn offerings, they will all add together, and if they give enough, then at some point they will tip the scale, and that scale will be sufficiently tipped where I then, out of the goodness of my heart, will decide, because of the magnitude and the river of blood flowing, that I will, based on all those sacrifices, turn to them and forgive their sin. God says that it wouldn't have mattered how much blood would have been shed. It wouldn't have mattered how much grain had been offered, how many burnt offerings had been rendering. The bottom line is that one was impossible, as would 1,000 have been impossible, as would have 10,000, as would have been 1,000,000. And if this practice had continued to this day and to the day that Christ returns, it would never, ever, at any time, in any way, satisfied the demands of God's holy righteousness, because it couldn't. It couldn't. And as these people labored to rear these animals, as these people labored to grow this foodstuff that they would then offer, they knew that what they were doing in rearing this lamb or raising this foodstuff, they knew that whilst they were obeying the commands of God, they would never satisfy Him. Because God is not satisfied by the magnitude of the offering. God was not satisfied by the scale of it. it is impossible. Verse 11, every priest stands daily at a service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Never take away sin. Never make atonement for sin. It's exactly the same for us. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we give, no matter how much we do for God, it will not work. It will never work. We cannot give to God enough. We cannot do for God enough. We cannot be for God enough. Every single one of us is in a wholly unworthy state before God, and there is nothing that we can do about that. All the sacrifices of our lives are of no eternal consequence at all. They amount to nothing. And if you grasp that truth, it's a truly devastating truth. That there is nothing that we can bring to God that He will find acceptable in His sight. Nothing. No labor, no commitment, no level of obedience. There is nothing that we can do. It strips away all our heart thoughts that we can bring something to God that will merit our salvation. What an unbelievably disastrous place for human beings to be in. That even the plan and purpose of God, the sacrifices that He requires, are of no value. That brings us to God's perfect provision for sinners. The writer to the Hebrews here quotes, as Stephen has already said, from Psalm 40. It is Christ who is speaking here. Christ who is saying that this is about me. This is about me. This is about who I am. Here is the amazing thing. What the psalmist is saying here are the words of Jesus, verse 5. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. There is the heart of the astonishing good news of God's perfect provision for sinners. That which God required in terms of blood of bulls and goats, it was impossible for that to take away sin. But what God in eternity chose to do was to send His Son, His one and only Son, to this earth. He prepared a body for His Son. And that body, which His Son endued with the life that God gave Him in human form, that body was the instrument through which God would find full satisfaction for the sin that He had to punish. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, no good. But it is the body of the living Jesus Christ. He became the once for all sacrifice. Jesus of Nazareth here is singing about His own body. He is not merely echoing the words of David. As Stephen so rightly said, this psalm is about the experience of a man who has experienced the deliverance of God from the miry clay and from the pit. But that man is not simply writing about his personal experience, because Jesus here is writing, as Stephen so rightly said, that it is about the deliverer who will be the one who will bring that deliverance from the miry clay that no sacrifice can ever make atonement from. That the deliverer is the son of the deliverer in the person and work of Jesus Christ is the one who through his laying down of his body is the instrument by which we who are dead in our trespasses and sins are forgiven, not for a week or a month or a year, but for all eternity, because the atonement that God received in Christ satisfied him fully. The old system, God required it, but it was wholly unprofitable to those who participated in it. The new system in Christ, this once for all single offering, verse 14, verse 12. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Verse 14. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. One single solitary sacrifice did what all those tens of thousands of other sacrifices could never do. They could never ever do it. They could never achieve what that one sacrifice did. The laying down of that one life met the demands of God, that the demands of all those animals and all those other sacrifices could never do. The reason is because the one who rendered that sacrifice did so in complete, utter obedience to his Father. In the laying down of his life, he did what the Father demanded. He did what the Father required. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 7. I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. I desire to do your will. Now you could say, well, all those people who offered the other sacrifices in the Old Testament period, they desired to do the will of the Lord. Surely they did that when they brought their animals. Yes, they did. But they did it in a way that wasn't perfect, because their hearts were not perfect before God. Although the lambs had to be without blemish, yet there was in the rendering the offering the sin of the renderer of the offering. But when this man came, this man who had a body prepared for him, this man who walked in the ways of righteousness from his conception through to the day of his death and beyond. This man, when he rendered a sacrifice once for all for sin, he rendered it with no sin upon him. He rendered it with no sin in his mind. He rendered it with no sin in his heart. And because he rendered it without sin, then this sacrifice that was made was completely and wholly acceptable to the holy Lord God Almighty. And when the Father in heaven poured out his wrath for all sin upon this sacrifice, when the stripes of many were laid in him, then the Father looked at him and said, with him I am well pleased. When all the other sacrifices brought the Father no pleasure, no delight, this one sacrifice, this one body sacrificed on the cross at Calvary, astonishingly, amazingly, and profoundly brought delight to the Father. Because it was rendered in full obedience and without any sin. And this is a sacrifice that has redeemed us from the pit. This is a sacrifice that has set us free from our sins. This is a sacrifice that has made us alive in Christ. This is a sacrifice that means that we will be with Christ in heaven for all eternity. And they talk of Jesus today as though he were just a friend who had something useful to teach us. And you see in this sacrifice, in closing, that there is a heart to do the will of God, and there is forgiveness for those who seek to do the will of God. God is not interested in our time. God is not interested in what we can bring. And if you are thinking today, I'm not worthy to come to the table, because I haven't given to God what I used to give to God. I don't give God as much time. I don't read my Bible as much as I've read in the past. I ask you this morning, do you have a heart for God? Do you have a longing for him to forgive your sin? Christian, member of the church, God doesn't need your time. He doesn't need your labors. A broken and a contrite heart are pleasing to the Lord. Do you love him? And are you prepared to say to him, I am deeply, deeply sorry that my walk with you has not reflected my heart love, in the knowledge that he is willing and he is able to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When he said, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more, verse 17, he wasn't just speaking of the Old Testament believers. He was speaking to you and I, that in Christ there is no more remembrance. In Christ there is no more dragging up of our past wrongs. Listen, if you want to drag up past wrongs, I can drag up as many as you have. And I take no joy in saying that. It's our heart he wants. It's our love he wants. He wants us to walk in his ways, the way that his son gave himself to the Father, the way that he lived in this earth for the Father, the way that he went to the cross for the Father, the way that he allowed himself to be put to death for the Father. Do you want to burn deeply inside you for God? Do you long to have that sweet relationship with God? Do you want to be released from the burden of thinking, what will other people think of me? Then set your heart on God. Seek his cleansing. Seek his forgiveness. It really does not matter what other people think. It's important at times for the cause of Christ that we don't do things that will besmirch his name. But in truth be told, at the end of the day, this once and all sacrifice is to bring us into a living relationship with God. Not into some form of routine, ritualistic religion. When Christ died on the cross, there's a once for all sacrifice. When his death made atonement for our sin, God was there reconciling mankind, whom he had set his love on before the foundation of the world, to himself. And if you have been reconciled by God through grace and the mercy of God, then come today. Come today and taste of this sacrament. Come and seek Christ and remember his once for all sacrifice for sin. And lay aside and put away all the efforts that you think you will bring and give. Put away all the thoughts that I will do this and I will do that, because they are never going to be of any value to God anyway. He doesn't greet you on the basis of the fact that you have done well. He doesn't greet you on the basis of the fact that you have worshipped Him continually. He doesn't greet you on the basis of the fact that you've read the Word of God. He doesn't greet you on the basis that you've led family worship. All those things are incredibly important to your growth in grace, but He doesn't greet you on the basis of that. He greets you solely on the basis of the sacrifice of His once for all Son. That's the only ground. Everything else is impossible. It's dross. It will mean nothing in terms of the day of eternity if you're depending on those things for your salvation. Come and taste and eat. And having tasted and eat, then go and live with all your heart. Go and love Him. Go and read the Word of God. Go and pray. Go and lead your family in family worship. Come and unite with the people of God. Live your life as Christ lived His life. Live it with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Every day broken before God, live it then. Live it. But don't come to the table on the basis of your living. Come to the table on the basis of Christ's living. Don't come to the table on the basis of your commitment. Come to the table on the basis of Christ's death. And if you don't believe it, and you don't own it, then don't come. Don't come. Do not come if you do not believe it. Do not come if you don't own it. And by own it, I mean by God's grace. If you believe it, come. If you don't, you stay away. You stay away and you talk to me. You talk to me this afternoon. And you say, I've been living on the basis of my doing. Pray with me, Andrew, and lead me by the Spirit of God to live my life on the basis of Christ. Because He is the only once for all sacrifice.